What will get us out of this economic slump?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open. A look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, a focus on the most finicky of markets, the stock market. Why has it closed down every day for a week? That's the longest losing streak for one index in 2 years. But first, where's Wall Street right now? Stocks are mixed. The Dow is up 24 points at 12,073. The Nasdaq down about 0.1%, and the S&P 500 up 0.2%. And that's where we'll start with our morning analyst. Diane Swonk is off this morning, but her deputy chief economist at Mesirow Financial, Adolfo Laurenti, joins us now from New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, Adolfo, stocks are sort of mixed this morning, but the S&P 500 has been down the last several days, longest losing streak since 2009. Do you think that should concern ordinary people, or is this just investors being investors?
Well, unfortunately, economic activity has slowed down in recent weeks. We believe it's a variety of temporary factors, but they are having a very broad-based impact. Things of the earthquake in Japan, the high level in the price of oil of gasoline, the bad weather. So all of this is weighing against economic performance and is reflected in the downbeat mood on financial markets.
And you mentioned oil there. We heard from OPEC yesterday that they will not pump more oil. And prices are above $100 a barrel this morning. Is that something that will keep us from getting out of the economic soft patch?
It's a factor of risk. We can probably deal with oil prices at $100, but that really increased the risk that for any additional shock, the spike might be at a much higher level. That would become a major challenge to our economic reacceleration.
All right. Well, when we talk about challenges, I saw in this morning's Wall Street Journal that China's housing bubble is now potentially about to pop. If that happens, how does it play out in the U.S.?
It's a risk factor. So actually, China does not only have the problem with the housing side, they are also having some excess over investment in industrial capacity, infrastructures. Inflation is rising over there. The major risk for the United States is that if something goes wrong in China, they may stop buying our debt, mostly our treasury notes and T-bills, and that will immediately impact our interest rates. So we are in together with the China. We really hope in a soft landing because our fiscal position does not allow any mistake on that front.
All right. Well, before we let you go, with all this doom and gloom, is there anything that you think about economically to put a smile on your face?
Well, you know, I really needed to work hard to find something, but there is something that gives me confidence. The balance sheet in corporate America is very good. I think the company have the resources to invest in new equipment, machinery, to do research and development, to hire new people. So if we can get just a break from the bad news and regain some confidence, I think we might see some good surprises in the second half of the year.
Adolfo Laurenti with Mesirow Financial, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, this morning, the Department of Agriculture told us all the natural disasters that have been going on will impact food prices. And as our sustainability reporter, Adrian Hill, tells us, things could get worse.
The rising Missouri River is threatening hundreds of thousands of acres of corn and soybeans in the Midwest. Land that
is among the most productive farmland in the country.
John Anderson is a senior economist at the American Farm Bureau Federation. He says it's too early to know the damage the water will cause. But analysts are watching this flood closely because
corn stocks are at a historically tight level.
I ask analyst Darren Newsom from Telvent DTN why the rest of us should care about corn supply. He says it's quite simple. Corn is in nearly everything food-related.
In some way, shape, or form, most everything agricultural or food that we eat or items that we buy can be traced sooner or later back to corn.
Our soda has corn syrup, our beef eats corn, and on and on. So it goes like this. The bigger the flood, the tighter the corn supply. The tighter the corn supply, the higher the cost of corn. And the higher the cost of corn, the more we pay for our groceries. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733. By Manta, connecting millions of small business owners with new customers every day. On the web at Manta.com. And by Indiana University's Kelley School of Business, providing a personalized approach to career advancement. Learn more at kellei.iu.edu.
Remember that Russian spy, Anna Chapman, the redhead who became the face of the Russian spy ring the FBI discovered in New York last year? Well, it appears she's traded in the shoe phone for a BlackBerry. She's launching a new venture capital firm to encourage entrepreneurship in Russia, as Peter Van Dyke reports from Moscow.
When spies are uncovered, they tend to return home and quietly disappear back into the shadows. Not Anna Chapman. She's appeared in a sexy photo shoot and on the catwalk, watched a rocket launch, and joined the youth wing of the ruling United Russia Party. Now, she says she is going to help young Russian entrepreneurs find investors for high-tech startups. Ben Aris, the editor of Business New Europe, says the Kremlin is using her as a marketing tool.
She's a celebrity, and that's about the size of it. I can't see any serious venture capital investor going in with her.
But within Russia, she is taken more seriously.
Working for the KGB carries a lot more prestige, or at least different connotations to what it does in the West. And so in that sense, I think she probably has a stronger standing than she does in the West.
The Kremlin is trying everything it can think of to attract investment. If this doesn't work, the former spy still has her banking job and weekly TV show to fall back on. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
And finally to Northampton, Massachusetts, where a guy got a letter from Bank of America that was definitely worth saving. The letter said his home would be foreclosed on if he didn't pay up immediately. The amount he owed, according to the letter, $0, 0 cents. After the local TV station WWLP did a story on this, Bank of America told the man he could stay in his home, and they sent him a $150 check for the trouble. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
In China, one school is trying to revolutionize its curriculum by introducing indie rock.
They just started the rock band. To be perfectly honest with you, I've heard them. They're not very good, but it's something that they love doing.
I'm Tess Vigeland. Out goes memorization, in comes fun. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.